Okay, so we're on Daf Memchet tonight. So I'll begin on the Mishnah on the Zion of Days, 47b, page 94, four lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay, so Manitin, Hareini Alecha Chayrim. Reuben says to Shimon, I'm Chayrim to you. So if you remember, we learned earlier in the Gemara, we had a Mishnah on Daf Yedchet. Chayrim can either be Chayrim for the Kohanim. The words can either be said as Chayrim for the Kohanim, something which is given to the Kohanim, or Chayrim could be your Makdish, something to the base of Mikdash. So here, if you look at the Ra and two lines to the bottom, Reini Lech Chayrim, Shtei Hanato Lech Chayrim Shabbat HaKabayit B'Galil Ma'iri, Yistam Charam in the Bet HaKabayit. Remember, the Mishnah said in the Galil, so people, in other words, in Yehuda, when there's a lot of Kohanim, so when people say Chayrim, they mean Chayrim for the Kohanim. But in the Galil, when they say Chayrim, they mean Chayrim for Bet HaKabayit. So here, Ran says, our Mishnah is talking about in the Galil. So a person said, you're Hareini, Hareini Alecha Chayrim, I'm Chayrim to you, means I'm, you know, in other words, in other words, you can't have Hana for me, right? Hareini Alecha Chayrim, Hamudar Asur. So the Mudar, so Shimon is prohibited from getting Hana from Reuven. Harei Adalai Chayrim, but if Reuven says to Shimon, you are chayrim to me, hanodar asur. Then Reuven's prohibited from getting hana. Hareini alecha va'adalai, he says, I'm chayrim to you, and you're chayrim to me. Shneim asurim. They're both prohibited from getting hana from each other. But here's the key in the Mishnah. Ushneim utarim b'davar shloli babel. Both are permissible to get hana from those items that were designated by the Oli Babel. So the Ran says, Shifki Rum Oli Babel of Israel, things that the Oli Babel were mafkir for the entire nation. In other words, things that they, in other words, national ownership, you're permitted to have on that. The Mishnah will explain what those items are. But the top line of Memchetam and Aleph, Basurim, B'Devar Shal Taha'ir. But things that are owned by the town, that they're prohibited on. It means that, let's say you have a town. Let's assume there's, let's say, 500 people in town, and these two are two of the people in town. So they own part of the town's property. So now they're each prohibited from getting hana from each other. So they can't get hana from the town property because, or let's say, there's 100 people in town. So it's you know, that's 2% of the ownership is there. He says, but ezu devar shel Oli Baba, what are things that the Oli Baba were mafkir? Go on harabayit baha as they wrote. Like the Har Abayit, the Temple Mount, the Azeroth, it means the whole Beis Hamikdash, that belongs to Klal Yisrael. So that's Ram takes it. That's hefker for everybody. He says, "V'habur shem saderech." This we had in Erevin. If you remember, we spoke about the Pasei Biraut was a parak in Erevin where they would put these wedges around the boar, right? For them to carry, it was like a lenient way of enclosing the boar. But the boar shvem sadera that they put to assist people making aliyah l'regel. He says, "Ve'ezu devar shel ta'ir." What are those things that are owned by the town? You go in harachaba, like the town square. So that if they're mudar hana from each other, they can't go to the town square. V'hamerachatz, if it's a municipal bathhouse. They're also stuck. Ubeda Knesset, the shul. And this is the Gemara that we, I think, have referred to on Shabbos, right? We said, like, if they're each mudar hana from each other, they can't get hana from the Beda Knesset. Vahateva. Now, Vahateva is machloket among Mefarshim, according to, where is it? One second. Oh, yeah. One second. No, it's the earlier page. He said, yeah, no, here. No, in my Gemara, it's the early one, but Teva, right. So the way that the way the Rush explains it, and the way the Tosfos explain it, the Teva is the Aron. That's the place where you put the Sefer. That's the Teva. But the way the Ran understands it, the Teva is like the Shulchan. He said, the Ran says, but Teva Shulchan, Sefer Torah, the Krot. In other words, that the, where you put the Sefer Torah lane, right, the Shulchan, and the Artzul said the Ritva says the same way. So it's machloket. It's interesting. The Ashkenazi Mefarshim, i.e., the Tosos and the Rush, understand the Teva is the Aron, and the Sfari Mepharshim, i.e. the Ran and the Ritva, understand that it's the Shofan.
No.
Wait, one second. Let me finish the Mishnah. Well, I'll open up the floor. Okay, 1 second. He says, so when I recover Merakat's Bit of Knesset, Bahateva, he says, Bahasfarim. Now, the Sfarim, this is tricky. So the Mishnah is saying that they can't get Hana from the Sifrei Torah. In other words, that that's like a town thing of its own. So one question that's asked here is, you know, the mitzvahs lav lehanot ninu. What am I using the sefer for? I'm using the sefer to study Torah. So mitzvahs lav lehanot ninu. The mitzvahs aren't giving a hana. So why should that be prohibited? So the Arshu quoted the Rashba. The Rashba says, indeed, it seems like the Rashba didn't have this word in the Mishnah. And the Rashba takes it that if they would own things together, that it would not be prohibited. But there's a different mahalach that we could say. Let me finish the Mishnah. I'll come back to this point a little bit, okay? Right. It could, Sfarim could be Sefer Torah. It could be anything that's owned by the Sefer thing, but like I think typically it would be a Sefer Torah. Now, the next line in the Mishnah says, Kotev Kol Kolman Asin. So the Gemara is going to think in the Havamina that if you wrote that your portion should be given to the Nasi, you're also prohibited, but it's going to come out in the end. This is really an Eitzah how to get around it. In other words, if their mood are enough from each other, they should write their chelek is assigned to the Nasi. So if it's assigned to the Nasi, then all bets are off. We'll come back a little bit to that as well. Okay, we're on Mem Chedam and Aleph around the line from the top, okay? So he says here, Rabbi Hudomer, Echad Kotev Nasi, Echad Kotev Lehed Yod. According to the Tana Rabbi Huda, you could write the property that's given to the Nasi, or you could say, I'm giving it to anybody. He says, Ma bing kotev l'nasi l'kotev l'hadyot, shakotev l'nasi insurut zakot. If I write it to the Nasi, I don't need to do a kinyan with the Nasi. He says, l'hadyot surut zakot. But with a garden variety person, I'd have to do a kinyan. But chachamim omrim, echad zev surut zakot. So chachamim say, no, you need to do a kinyan with either case. He says, l'dibru b'nasi, the only reason the Chum referred to an Asi, that's the most common situation, you give it to an Asi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Enon Sheik Galil Tzrichim Latov, Shekavar Kepu Obtein Al Yudayim. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that the people in the Galil, they don't have to assign their property, let's say the Mudar Hana from each other, they don't have to assign their property to the Nasi. It's already been assigned to the Nasi by their forebears, and we'll see in a minute. Let me just do a little run. Let me explain the Mishnah a little bit, and then I didn't think it about you, Aaron Moshe, and let me see where we go with this. Okay, so the first round we did, and the second round, I guess, Yeah, so the Ron just says the Nasi has a greater koa. Let me do the next run, he says, where he says, L'dubru b'nasi l'behobeh, around the sixth, the eighth narrow line. A person doesn't rely to write to somebody else. I'm afraid that they'll ask it on me. So I want somebody safe as the Nasi. Now the Ron asks the question. Now, again, according to the Chachamim, that whether I give it to the Nasi or I give it to Hed Yod, I have to do a kinyan. So what's the mission teaching me? In other words, I have two people who are mudar hana from each other, and they can't get hana, so they're going to write it to a third person. So what's the chiddush with that? The Mishnah already taught them to me twice. In the Mishnah below, and the Mishnah we had earlier taught me twice, that I can give it to a, in other words, if I have somebody's mudar hana, I give the property. Remember we had, let's say, Reuben and Shimon. They're walking along, and Reuben's got the food, or Shimon's got the food. Reuben doesn't have the food, so Shimon give it to a third person. That's the same idea. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Kamash Malan, you know, Sirich L'Zakot. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Chiddush that you don't have to be Mizaki with it. That's why they say give it to the Nasi. El Rabban and Mike Kamash Malan. According to Chamim, what's the chiddush about giving it to the Nasi? So it could be the whole. So benira be'enai t'kashvalan the avogav gan alom mistalek mimashna tana dayin shadayim mishtamish be'ed knesset bechila shari lo tema ha'arama ba'almahi. In other words, he's using the same properties he was before. In other words, let's say Reuben and Shimon are moved our hana from each other, and they each give it to the nasi, so they're going to do a kidding with that. But at the end of the day, they're using the shul just like they used the shul before. So I might have thought that's like a harama, it's like a sham, it's like a subterfuge. In other words, in the earlier case where we had, let's say Reuben was mudar hana from Shimon, and then Shimon wants to give him food, so he gives it to a third person and he gives it to Reuben, fine. But here, where they're doing everything the same as before, everything's harama, basur. Manit tani basur mit devar shel tahir rabbanan hi. So below Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, that was a different point. So our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim and not like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Remember, we learned at the first Mishnah, in the beginning of the Perek, that we had two people that were mudar enough from each other. Reb Elazar, if it's ein badin chaluka, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, zenech lasatok shalom, zenech lasatok shalom. So everybody can enter his piece because remember, it's a timeshare type of thing. Like using Breira, we're going to find out when you walked in, it was yours. When you walked in, it was yours. So it comes out now of Shul. This is why we brought it in earlier. Shul has no din of Chalukah. We're not going to divide up the Shul. So according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, you wouldn't have to give it away, your share. In other words, let's say I have a Shul and Reuben and Shimon use the Shul and they're each Mudar Hana from each other, or even one is Mudar Hana. So they're each going to give their property over to the Nasi. But why do they even have to do that? According to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, you don't have to do that. Because when you move in, when you go in, we say it's not his share. When he walks in, it's not his share. In other words, that type of thing. Let's see back in the thing. So since the early Gemara earlier is passing like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, late to the Manitin. So that means the halakha in the Mishnah here is not true. Because we paskin like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says we're going to use Breira, if it's ain but then Chaluka. And then he says, V'yishatmol Rambam zal shpasah perzayim hilchot nadarin, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. He says he's got a kash on the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, that's fine. We paskin like the Manitin, he paskins like our Mishnah as well. K'var yisigur Rambam zal behilchotah v'yichi mizak yishtar l'beitrei. In other words, how does he split it both ways? All right, now, let me just do one more thing or two things from the Mishnah, then I'll take some questions that we'll summarize. We'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So one of the things we mentioned in the Mishnah, according to the Tanah of the Mishnah, people are moved their hana from each other. And so they're allowed to use the national property, things that belong to all policy that they can use, that's hefker. But things that belong to the town, they're members of the town, so they're ushering the property on themselves. That's according to Allah in our Mishnah. So one of the items that we said is going to be Asra, the Sfarim. So I touched on this before, but Sfarim is for learning. So the Sfarim is for learning. So Mela, Mitzvah Vavle, so we mentioned that the Arso mentions the Rashba says that it sounds like the Rashba doesn't learn. He doesn't learn. He says, Inakinami, that you can always lend somebody. Now he quotes, and the Arso quoted this all, Rabbeinu Avraham and Ahar. So Rabbeinu Avraham and Ahar, and he puts it in the Daftai just as well. I want to say like this, that there's a difference when we say mitzvah lovely hanot nidu means, let's say the mitzvah is A, but just alongside I might get hana from it. For example, and we've had this before, let's say there's a situation where I'm not allowed to get hana from a spring of water, and I want to be tovel in that water. So if it's the summer, I'm going to cool off in the water. So I'm getting like a side hana. But it means to do tefillah, I don't have to cool off. I can get tefillah. In other words, it could be in a way that, let's say, in the winter, you know what I mean? So the mitzvah is not necessarily engendering the hana that I may occur or may not occur. It depends how we look at it. So Rabbeinu Avraham and Ahar wants to say that when it comes to studying Torah should always be enjoyable. That's part and parcel of the mitzvah. Like, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim is something like that. That is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to study and enjoy what you're studying. So therefore, he says it's an exception to the rule. So even though normally we say Mitzvah Slavli, Hanot Nidnu, by Torah in Achinami, and he mentions, they mentioned where they had a reference to it, is a famous Hakdama to the Egle Tal. He says that some people think that your person should learn and he shouldn't enjoy it. And he says, no, put for care, you should enjoy what you're learning. Okay, then there's another Hesber he has here that that wants to say that when you use a sefer, it like depreciates. In other words, I use the saber, it depreciates in value. So in that sense, I'm getting hana from it. In other words, so that would be a problem. In other words, I'm using a cheftza and I'm causing a depreciation in its value. So that would be, he mentions here about ksos. He says that sometimes when some borrower say for a friend, the borrower does not have a status for shoel, one who benefits for you by using someone else's object, because the borrower's benefit is from a mitzvah, which is not a personal enjoyment. All right, let me leave this here. He says, the ksos himself explains, it's not the benefit of learning Torah which proves to use the svarim, it's rather the wear and tear of the svarim that is the problem. Tassai Sichus Maimoni, who says that it's permitted to charge others to use one svarim, because the cost is assessed due to the depreciation of the safer. All right, let me just summarize our Mishnah, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So in the Mishnah, we spoke about people who are mudar hana from each other, they can't get hana from each other, and then we spoke about things that belong to all bikes throughout, things that are hefker, like the Beis HaMikdash is hefker, or the boar, they have these boar on the Ole Regalim, so even though they're mudar hana, they can benefit from it, it's considered hefker, like ownerless, belongs to the whole nation, it's ownerless, is the way Ron understands it, but the property that's owned by a town, they're members of the town, they're shareholders in whatever the town has, and among the property the town has is the shul. And so they can't go into the shul unless they, you know, give over their property to the nasi or somebody else. And then we said, though, Ron said that this Mishnah is only according to the Chacham, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, since the shul is late by din chalukah, doesn't have a din chalukah, they can't buy the shul. So Mela, they are allowed to go in and still using Brera. Okay, who's the first Aaron Moshe who's been patient? You want to say something for Aaron Moshe? What do you have for me?
Yeah, a couple of things. You just mentioned that Damateg Leital, which is the Sukkachak of a roof, he was an Aiden by the Kutzkereb. So the Kutzkereb is Chavrusa, the Chadushi Arim used to say you can't just have Anah by learning. If it's total hanah, it's like reading a good novel or something. He would give, when he heard a good svara, he would give a kech. That's what the Chiddush Rebbe, the Gei Rebbe.
He was saying not to enjoy it so much.
No, in other words, that you can't learn just for the enjoyment of learning.
That sounds a little different from what I've been saying.
So what he's saying is, Goy said Tzaddikim have such enjoyment that he used to give a kechs when he heard a good svara.
All right.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is that when a chazan or a Baal Tvila goes over to Davin, you say, Oylu Lefnei Ateva.
Right.
So that would indicate that the Teva is...
They say Yoreid Lefnei Ateva. Yoreid Lefnei Ateva.
Well, if you want to say Yoreid, so he goes down because you're supposed to go down. But whatever the case is, it's still Lefnei Ateva.
So
it wouldn't be the Aron. It wouldn't be
right,
the Aron.
The Korah would be the Aron. All right. What, Fern, you want to say something? Everybody good? All right. I'm going to move on then. Everybody good? Okay, let's look back in the Gemara. Okay, so we're on... So we had one line in the Mishnah that didn't quite fit in. I explained it though. So the Tana Mishnah said, this was on line six. It says, one second. Right. So line one, five. Then the Mishnah said that all those things are prohibited, they belong to the town. So the Gemara says, Amai Mitzar, we think the Tana, the Mishnah means that you're Asur in all these situations, or if you're Kotev Lanasi, right, you're Papa Lanasi, they're also Asur, that's what we think. So Amrav Shesh and Hachi Katani. Rav Shesh said, this is the way we should understand the Mishnah. Umata Kanatan, what should they do? If they're mudar hana from each other, actually the case in the Mishnah was that Reuven was doing all the talking. He said, "Harelai cherem hareni." He says, "Hareni alecha of adalai." He says, "I'm cherem for you, and you're cherem for me." But either way, they're both prohibited from each other. Yichtivu chelkan nasi. They should write, you know, that they're giving their chelek over to the nasi. Now, the next six lines in the Gemara just quotes the Mishnah that we did above verbatim. I'm just going to repeat these lines, but we did it already. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Kotev L'Nasi, V'Echad Kotev L'Hed Yod, Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't make a difference whether you write to the Nasi, you write to the Hed Yod. What's the difference between the two? I kote the nasi encircles the code. If I write my property to the nasi, I don't have to do a kinyan. In other words, with the nasi, that's the convention that I can just write it and it's his. He says, if I kote the nahed yo, it's the code. But the chamim omrim, echadzev echadzev strichim zakot. Some of you say, no, either way, you have to be mizakal. They're just teaching the most common situation. And again, we did this Ran already. So the Ran asked, so what is the Mishnah teaching me then? There's no Kiddush. I can just give it to anybody. So we know that already from this. So he says, now, I might have thought it's like Harama. In other words, if I look at the video camera, everything is the same as it was before. They're walking in, they're using the shul, and you know, poof, you know. So I might think it's a harama. So kamash malon. According to the chachamim, in other words, he says, according to the chachamim, what is the Mishnah teaching me? In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is teaching me that he gives the nasi, you don't have to do a kinyan. Fine. When chachamim, so the nasi is the same as anybody else. You have to do a kinyan. What's the? So he says the kiddush is. I might have thought it's a harama. So now let's do a few more lines, then we'll go to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer in Anshe Galil Strichim Zakot Mark Kahu Obtain Al Yidehen. So Rabbi Huda says in the Mishnah, the people of Galil don't have to be mezakeh because they're, in other words, they don't have to do anything because their forebears were already mezakeh to them, that everything belongs to the Nasi. So Tanya, I'm Rabbi Huda, Tanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, and Sheik Galil Kantaranin Hayu. The people in Galil were very cantankerous, but you know, Drin Hanaz Amizeb, like by their disposition, they would always go around making these nadarim, you know, that, you know, I'm not getting hana from him, he's not getting hana from me. So their forebears, they got up and they made an enactment. Everything is going to belong to the Nasi. Not a problem. You know, you can make your neder, but at least the town property would be permissible. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let's further. Again, remember we said that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's something that doesn't have a din chaluka. It's not aser, it's permissible. Remember, we did that in the Ran just a few minutes ago, right? So the shul is not something that doesn't have a din chalukah. So with that being the case, that would be mutar, okay? Let's see. And it might be, I don't know if the other things have a din chalukah either. In other words, it might be like, in other words, like the rechava shel ir. In other words, not that it's too small. In other words, by individuals, it's too small. But the Matthias is like the city, the town is not going to divide it up or sell the rechava shel ir. So that's what the Ran was saying, that the halach is not like this Mishnah, it's like the first Mishnah, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, now we're doing the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Manitin, Hamudar Hana Mechabero. If Reuven is Mudar Hana from his friend, Reuven can't get Hana from Shimon. Ve'ilo Mayokal, he has nothing to eat. No, no, Lacher Shematana. So Shimon can give the food to somebody else, Levi, as a Matana. We had this earlier in the Mishnah on Mem Gimel. And this is the Mishnah that the Ran was referring to a few minutes ago. Behalomu Tarba. He says, Ma'ase bechad bechoron. And this Gemara we did earlier as well. I think we had it on Shabbos. We discussed this out. It was an incident in somebody bechoron. She'aviv, it should be mudar heimenu hana. His father, in other words, you have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Yitzchak made a neder that his father can't get hana from him. When Yitzchak was marrying off his son Yaakov. So Yitzchak comes up with a plan. He wants his father to be able to come to the chasana. So Yitzchak says to Yisachar, he says, I'm giving you my chatzer, my courtyard, and the whole banquet. It's all yours. And I'm giving this to you with the stipulation that my father should come and eat with us at the suda. So Yitzchak says to him, Amar, im shalihem harim l'tushim l'shmayim. They're mine. I'm makdish it all to the base of Mikdash. So Amar lo, so Yitzchak says to him, Natat l'chad shalish t'shim l'shmayim. You think I gave it to you? Should we makdish l'shmayim? You didn't get the idea, you know? That's not what I wanted. He says, Amar lo, so Yitzchak says to him, Natat l'yit shalcha el shtei atav avicha oklan l'shotin v'tratzin solzeh. Yeah, I know what you gave it to me. You gave it to me. So you and your father will be eating, drinking, and having a nice time with each other. We have owned to Louis Brocho, and the Abbe will be mine, because this is a sham transaction. That's why you gave it to me. So there, so he says, so Amru Chachamim, so the Chachamim said, Ko matana she'ena shem hikdisha tebe kudesh ena matana. So if the matana is such that I don't have a koach to be makdish, this matana, that's not considered to be a matana, not considered to be a good gift, okay? All right, now let's do a little bit of the Ran on this. Look at the Ran, 10 lines above where it gets wide, left-hand column. Yeah, kol matana she'ena she'mekdisha ena mekdisha matana, klomar did he, now, the Ran is bothered, like, you know, there's a concept, matanam not lahatsir, which we use frequently on Sukkot when with the lulav and esrog. So if I do matanam not lahatsir, it's your matana, but you can't be makdish it because you have to give it back to me. So here, how is it that we're saying you can't be makdish that? So he says here, klomar did he the matanam not lahatsir shema matana forgot the tisha ena mekdisha it. In the parakish in Oakland, the manash taxi reili hakdisha eno kadosh. Immediately the chazli ta'amar lei. In other words, I say I'm not. In other words, when I say it's your it's a matana to you, just give it back to me. Give it back to me in a way that I can use it. Not that you can't be back to shit. So there is something that's a good matana, even though you can't be back to shit. So how come Mishnah says it's not a good matana? You can be back to shit. There I could be. So shani hatam.
It is
yours, right? And here not. So shani hatam the mikomachom l'shaita matana. I mean, it's over there. When I give it to the matana, let's say it's for an hour. During that hour, you could do with it what you want. It's understood. That's your property. In other words, here, the key is it was a sham transaction. That's the key. He didn't really intend that it would. In other words, it's just like, it's just on the surface. In other words, everyone is saying it's not that way. His intent was not to give it to him at all. In other words, I just want to have this, like, you know, for, you know, like, not that you should do this, like people do, like for tax purposes, like this. But you know what I mean. Like, but that's like fraudulent. You know what I mean. But like a fraudulent scheme. He says, "Ella tikareil shemo v'shaviv mutarba." He just did it. So, like on paper, it's your property. Behind the listings about the ktani komatana she'ina shemekdisha nukadesh bechulei, lo ktani komatana shemekdisha nukadesh bechulei. Bishem the tana hak kamar komatana she'ina klum kazu. He means what the Mishnah means, that any matana which is like a sham matana with through harama, shemikdisha in a mukpedeshan in a matana. In other words, he really means is if it's a sham transaction, that's not the good matana. In other words, in this instance, he couldn't be makdishit. That's not the litmus test of being makdishit. The litmus test is, can you do with it what you want to do with it? He says, and then he says, and the Yerushalmi supports that. All right. Now, let me do a few more lines to the Gemara.
Yes.
Well, let me do a few more lines, then I'll pause and we'll take some questions, okay? So now, six lines from the third wide line. So now the Mishnah said that if you're Mudar Hanan, you have nothing to eat, give it to somebody else. Then we went through this whole story about Beit Choron, where he tried to give it to somebody else and it wasn't good. So the Gemara says, Ma'asa the store. So it seems strange. You tell me Halakha A, give it to somebody else. And then the incident is Pon Faker, to give it to somebody else, no good. So the Gemara says, Chisuri Mechzer B'Haki Katani. It's as if there are words missing in our Mishnah. This is the way we should understand the Mishnah. Meaning, the way the Ran understands it, if from his end of his sentence, in other words, the donor's statement, I understand it's a sham, it's not good. So here, the donor said, Yitzchak said to Yisachar, I'm giving this to you only because I want my father to, you know, so with the stipulation that my father should be able to come to the wedding. That's what I'm giving to you. So he says here, there's an incident like that in Beit Choron where his statement proved that it was a sham. So Rava says the only problem is when the person expressly stipulates, I'm giving this to you with the stipulation that my father should be able to come. But if he said, I'm giving this to you, you know, and my hope is my father will be able to come, but it's obviously up to your discretion, that would be fine. He says, Lishna Acharina Amilo, or there was another version of this conversation in the base medrash, Amarava, Lotema Tamadamale Hina Lefanechu Da Asur. Don't say that the reason this is a sham transaction, because he said expressly, I'm giving people the stipulation that my father should be able to come. But and you would think that if he said, well, my father, hopefully my father can come, and it's like up to your discretion, it's mutar. Even in that last case, there was that which the early lashon was permissible, the second lashon is not prohibited. My time up, Why is the second case prohibited according to this Lashon? Because he's making this whole Suda, and it's clear what he has in mind. And so therefore, from the totality of the evidence, we could extrapolate that it's a sham. Okay, now we have time for questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, what do you have for me, Yosef?
Why don't you just give it to his son? Instead of giving it to their father. Give it to his son. Would that work better? Give it to Naftali?
Yeah, so I don't know why he didn't give it to his son. Okay, Yosef asked, why didn't he give it to his son? One second. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Yeah, in the first version, that's the language in the Mishnah. He says, "Hinun lefanecha ela kedei sheyavo abba." I'm giving it to you. Everybody agrees that doesn't work. I'm giving it to you with the stipulation that my father should be able to come. The second way is, I'm giving it to you, and sheyavo abba, I hope my father will come, but it's obviously up to your discretion. So the first version says it works. Second version says even that doesn't work because it's clear that he's making this whole Suda and he wants the father to come. And even though the language sounds sort of semi-okay, but we could deduce that it's also not. Right. Okay. Well, there might be a way out. He says, one second. If you look three lines from the bottom, he says, "The nihid of alma of yavo lo tanaihu." In other words, in general, that would not be a stipulation. Here, it's like an anan sade, like we testified, it's accepted a fact that a person doesn't make a big party for his son's wedding. We don't know la acher, and I just give you the whole banquet. Who ever heard of such a thing? So even though he says the language sounds okay, but he, if we cut through the chaff, that's what he meant. He says, only if he said that at the time of the Matana. So according to Rashba, if he just gives it to somebody and then says the statement later on, it'd be good. Came with the Shat Matana Lawamar Midi. Abala Rabba bin Moshe Bor Maimon Zalkatav, the Pilachar Shah Astur bin Matana. Rama says, even if an hour later he says that to him, it's not loud. Yeah, he says nothing. He says, I hope my father will be able to come. According to Rashba, but not according to Rama. Okay, I'm going to move on. Everybody good?
On the first case, Yisachar wanted to be Makdish, the whole place, to the...
Right, to the base of Mikdash.
So I guess he lost his invitation after.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, he had to pay for one cup of this.
All right. Anyway, okay. We're Mem Chedamun Beis on the top line. Okay. Now, all right. The top line. Hahu Gavra Davale Brad Avishami Kipei Tekitna. So there was a certain man. If you look at the Ran, the top line, Goneva Agudot Shapishan. A certain man had a son who was stealing bundles of flax. In other words, like in Yiddish, you say like he was a Shlefter man. Not a good fellow. So it says. So the father decides, I'm going to asur my son, my wayward son, from all my property. He makes an edder that the son cannot get hana from his property. So Amrulay, so then he said to this person, let's say the father will be Yaakov, and the son who's not doing good is Reuven. So Amrulay, so they said to Yaakov, B'yavai barbarach tzuber rabbanan mai, what if your grandson, what if Reuven has a son, and his son is a big Talmud Chacham? And now, you know, there won't be any of the property in the family. What's going to happen? So Amar Lahon, so he said to them, Liknei Hadain, let Reuven acquire it, Yavai Barbari Tzumer Rabbanan Liknei, and if my grandson's a Talmud Chacham, let him acquire it now. All right, one second. Let me do the round on this. Let me say it outside, then we'll do it inside, then we'll talk outside. It's very, you know, it's a little complicated this tomorrow. The Ran ends up saying that there are really two sons here. He's got one son is like Menschlich, you know, an Er Lachid. The one son is an Er Lachid, he's good, and father's happy with him. We'll call him Yisachar. Yisachar is a Talmud Chacham. Okay, so Yaakov is one son, Yisachar is a big Talmud Chacham, he's happy with him. And then he's got another son, Reuven, he's not so happy with him. So the Ron asked, Ron is bothered by this. In other words, let's say Yaakov has property and he asks it on the son, but that's not an impediment for the son yarshing the property. Even though he's moved on now, you can yarsh on the property. What's all this shach levatari about? So the Ron ends up saying that he really has two sons, and the plan is like this. If Reuven, he gets a grandson who's, so right now I'm sort of dividing the estate to two. Half of it I'm giving it to Yisachar. And I'm doing it as a matana, not with Dina Yerusha. That's the way it sounds like to me. And I listened to it online today to this rabbi, Oren Nyman, and it sounded to me like he was saying it this way as well. But I'm doing a kinyan with Yisachar, and then I'm doing another kinyan with Reuven, and the kinyan I'm doing with Reuven is if Reuven has a son, and son, you could say, why didn't just give the property to someone chacham? So son might not be alive, then he might not be alive and being at this point in time. But if eventually he has a son who's Taman Chacham, then at that point, Reuven will acquire this property and then it will pass immediately to his son, whatever the son's name is, Reuven's son, we'll call him Chanoch. Okay, now let's see the Ran inside and then move on. So on the second line in the Ran, so Amule, Yabai Barbarach Surabanamai, Matehelav, Lamaluknaotam, Bim Tomar, the Apalgab da Srinole. So maybe you said this, even though we answered Reuven, have a kaninluhu barbare, this grandson would still get the property. We learned already the person asks property on the son, even though the son is not allowed to get hana from them, but the property belongs to Reuven, became a chicane, barbare habayarit lehu. He says he habits from Rabbanan, Oama Aret. In other words, whatever he is, the grandson will have it. Mechaim Nami by the Mitninu the brain, Matsi Avid, Kidanan, Otilabanabalachav, Rashleel. In other words, he can give it to him either way, a lifetime afterwards. So Yeshlomar, so the Ran says the sixth narrow line, Yeshlomar, Dahach, Ubdahachi Havi. So without the Ran, I don't know how we learned Pshat here. Like he's like guiding us through the woods here. Yeshlomar, Dahach, Ubdahachi Havi was like this. The Lahu Gavra, how will he train today? He had two sons. Chad Demale, one is Erlach, he's good. He says, V'idach, Tavi Shamit Kipe, the kitten. One's busy stealing the flax, the bundles of flax. He says, V'hikirubo, Tavabai, Limitvinu, Lenechse, Lahu Demale. And people knew that he wanted to give all of his property to Yisachar. Umishumahachi, Amule, so they said to him, Yehavi Barbarach, Suver Rabbanon, Mamalis Kibanachasim. What are you going to do? You're giving the whole property to Yisachar. What if Reuven has a son, Chanoch? He's not born yet. What if Reuven has a son and he's a Taman Chacham? Vahadilhu, Chapir Kamritu. So he says, Taka, yeah, you're a good Kazuk, you're saying the right thing. Lichting Adain Palga. He says, let Reuven acquire half of it. You have a Bray Tsurabanan, Lichting a Bray, Lahu Palga. And then his son Chanuk will get that half. Below, if he doesn't have the son of Taman Chacham, Levu Kulu Lahak Barad Damali. Otherwise, I want all the property to go to Yisachar. Okay? All right, let me do further in the Gemara, and then I'll pause in a few lines, okay?
But if Chanoch dies, wait,
3 minutes. Okay, now, let's hold on. You know, from Akasha start minished means from a question, you don't die. From Akasha start minished. Okay, now, let's back on the Gemara. Ahu Gavra Dahavabara. A certain man had a son, the top line, to have a shamikipe kitna, he's stealing the bundles of flax. So he asks the property on him. So Amule, so they said to him, what if his son is Taman Chacham? So Amar Lahon, he said, Litnei Hadin, Taki, you're right. So let the bum, Reuben is the bum child, let him acquire a half. Biabai barbarates to Rabbanon, Litnei. And then, if the grandson's Taman Chacham, then he'll acquire it at that point in time. He says, so my, so what's the halacha? So Amri Pumpaditoi, so the Pumpadian said, Kini Amanat Lahaknohu. That's just acquiring something which is not like a real acquisition. In other words, this son, Reuven, is only going to acquire something he can't get Hana from. And he's only acquiring it to like sort of transfer it to somebody else. That's Kini Amanat Lahaknohu. The whole kinyam and al lahakno lo kani. That's not a good kinyam. So that's what the Pumbi Dai said. It's not a good hesber. In other words, you can't have a kinyan amanat lahakno. That's what they said. So for Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, Kani, no, taka, it's a good kinyan, meaning that Reuben can be caught in such a fashion. The hasudra kinyan amanat lahakno hu. He says, if you think it over, let's say we're doing a real estate transaction, though there are some transactions where you do kinyan sudar as a kinyan khalifin, we consider like barter. So let's say I'm selling my piece of property to Yosef. So I give, you know, Green Acre to Yosef, and Yosef gives me his handkerchief. And then I'm going to give him the handkerchief back. So the handkerchief is just, it's not really Kenyan. It's just a formality. I just have that handkerchief. I have it, and then I give it right back to him. And nevertheless, it's a good Kenyan. So the way that the Gemara wants to say the same way, this son, Reuven, acquires the property, then immediately it's transferred immediately to his son, Chanok, and it's good. So that's what Rav Nachman wants to say that Kni Amanat Lahakno is good. Even if you just get it, you know, to Han, to Mimat is good. So the Gemara, so Amar Rav Ashi, he says, again, Rav Nachman Amar Kani, that's Sudra Kani Amanat Lahakno. Amar Rav Ashi, Uman Limalan Sudra. Now, Rav Ashi is slugging up Rav Nachman. So Amar Rav Ashi, Uman Limalan Sudra, he copies the Lomithus. He says, who's to say that if Yosef seizes his, in other words, you're right, typically I do give it back to Yosef, the handkerchief. But if I want to hold on to that handkerchief, who's to say I can't hold on to it and keep it? And the emphasis is I could keep it. So it's not like a sham transaction by the Sudar. In other words, so we want to, in other words, Rav Ashi is asking Kash against Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I see by regular everything Kinyan Chalipin, I also use this sort of like formality and comes in, comes out. But Rav Ashi is not such a formality. It's like one party gets the land, the other party gets the sudar. But the sudar is his. He can keep it. In Akinami, the Minhag is give it back, but he can keep it. He says, but Ode, in addition to which, even assuming arguendo that he cannot keep the handkerchief and he gives it back, sudra kini amanat lahakno ukini min hashta. With the Sudar case, in Akinami, it's a kini amanat lahakno, but it's kini min hashta. In other words, the Sudar case is stronger because the Kinyan takes place simultaneously with the transfer of the Sudar. That's when the Kinyan takes place. With these Nechasim, in other words, here with Yaakov is going to do a Kinyan with Reuven. When is Reuven going to acquire the property? So the Gemara says, but he's doing the Kinyan right now, but when does he acquire the property? In other words, when he produces a son, it was a Talmid Chacham. So he's doing the Kinyan now, but it may be effective 10 years from now or 20 years from now. He says at that point in time, like the suitor is already back to the master. In other words, the Kinyan is already long since finished. All right, let me just summarize again. Then we'll take some questions. Okay, let me just summarize, take some questions. And I didn't forget about you, Fern, okay? Now, so we got into a slightly different topic, though it's somewhat related. So somebody he's got two sons. One son is you know, like Yosef Awolim Yisachar. He's the Talmid Chacham. And in this example, Reuven is not a good son. He's engaged in thievery all the time. So he wants to give the whole estate to Yisachar. So people said, what are you doing? Maybe Reuven's going to have a son who's a Talmid Chacham. And did you want that grandson to lose out? Tzarka, you're right. So he does a Kinyan with Reuven, and the deal is like this. And he does a Kinyan also with Yisachar. So Yisachar immediately gets half the estate. And if Reuven produces a son who's a Talmid Chacham, then Reuven will acquire half the estate. And then immediately transferred over to his son, Chano. If Reuben doesn't produce that son, the whole estate is going to Yisachar. So is that arrangement good? Is that an effective arrangement? So the Zakenim Padita said, no, that's Kinyan Amanat Lahaknohu. It's like a sham transaction. In other words, Reuben, who's acquiring like this half this property. You can't even get hana from it. So that's just to give it over. That's not good. He says that's not good. But Rav Nachman says no. He's kona. Rav Nachman says no. Talk it's good, and I'll prove it to you. It's good. How do I prove it's good? From every Kenyan suitor that we do, a Kenyan suitor, just a formality. And if I'm selling you my I'm selling Green Acre to Yosef, so Yosef gets Green Acre, he gives me his handkerchief, and then I give the handkerchief back. It's just a formality, and yet it works. So I'm toning the handkerchief, and I'm locked, though. I just acquire the handkerchief for a moment, then I give it back to him, and that works. So why wouldn't this work? So that's Rav Nachman's argument. So then Rav Ashi asks two kashas against Rav Nachman. One, he says, who's to say that a handkerchief is really kenia manat lahakno? In other words, maybe I could keep the handkerchief so that we could distinguish the cases. Here, he's just got to take the property and give it away right away. Maybe I'm allowed to keep the handkerchief, so that's not a great raya. And secondly, he says that with the handkerchief case, the fact that handkerchief works, which was Rav Nachman's big raya, but the fact that it works for the handkerchief, that's a simultaneous transaction. It was at the time I do the kinyan, the property, the title to the property is transferring to Yosef in my example. Here, I'm doing the kinyan, and then what is the title going to pass to Reuven, like maybe 20 years from now? That's worse. He says, okay, now, having said that, the Rav Nachman could argue that the Kenyan might take place immediately. He could argue that way. Okay, Fern's been very patient. You have a minute or two, Fern, go.
What is to stop Chanoch from titling this over back to the father? What is to sell Reuven? What is to stop Reuven from possibly yarshening Chanoch, should Chanoch predecease him and leave no one else to yarshen him?
Yeah, you're talking like a shtickle lawyer now. Anyway, well, I don't think anything blocks any of those things that you said, frankly. In other words, if once Chanoch gets it, so Lechora, I don't know if Yerusha is different, but we learned by when it comes to transactions, if somebody else gets it, then all bets are off. And so I don't think anything would block that off. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay,
not so foolproof.
Okay. No. In other words, vis-a-vis Yaakov, not so foolproof. You mean at the end of the day, his son may get something. All right. Now let's
see. Happens if there's no grandson?
Yeah. So then Yisachar gets some.
That's taken care of.
What was it?
We'll say what?
Nachman? How can you say that Kinyan takes the quarters right now? It's only conditional. There's no way he could answer back to.
Yeah. So, no. So he'll say that it takes effect right now, but you're just holding the property, and we'll see how which way the wind blows. And then if you don't produce sun, it's going the other way. Okay. Now I got to wrap it up. Please excuse me. Okay. We're 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, now, Amalei Rabba L'Rav Nachman. Now, so that's one set of questions to Rav Nachman, but there are answers that we can give for Rav Nachman. Okay, now we have other questions against Rav Nachman. Amalei Rabba L'Rav Nachman, B'manat Be'charon, B'kniya Manat L'Haknohu, B'lo Kakani. So, in other words, Rav Nachman says, you can have a transaction, K'niya Manat L'Haknoh. That's what Rav Nachman says. So, Rabba says to him, look, the Matana Beit Choron is not exactly the same way. Meaning, I give my estate, or Yitzchak gives his estate to Yisachar, I think was my example, right? So Yitzchak gives his estate to Yisachar together with the banquet so that the father should come. So either it means that Yisachar is going to give the food or whatever to the father, so that's like kniya manat lahaknot. Or in essence, like figuratively, it's close to it. In other words, it's close to it. It's kniya manat lahaknot, and it works. We think this is that doesn't work. This is kniya manat lahaknot who velo kakani. It doesn't work. So we see kniya manat lahaknot doesn't work. So he says, I think this should be, it's not written so clearly in my Gemara, but it says Zimnin, right? What is there? Yeah, and my Gemara is not coming out right. Okay. Zimnin Amar Lein. Wait, so sometimes he would answer Mishum the Sudatomu Chakalav. Sometimes he would answer that Rav Nachman is answering that Sudatomu Chakalav. Now, what that means, so the Ram quotes his first shot, he says that nobody makes Suda to give it to somebody else. That's why it's a sham. But the Ram asks a question against this, but the Ram's preferred explanation is that he thinks that everybody wants their father to be able to go to the Suda. So I know on the face of it that it's a sham transaction. In other words, I know that he wants to invite his father, and that's a sham on the face of it. He says, Masha Ein Kein here, the father, Bichlal, he doesn't want Reuven to have any benefit from the property. So in other words, so he says, I'm giving to the Reuven, is it a valid Kini Amanat Lahakno? So in the case of Matan Beit Choron, it's this is just a sham. I don't even want you to acquire it. I want, you know, my father to come. That's the whole thing. It's not really Kini Amanat Lahakno. And it's like, it's all a sham. Because everybody wants their father to come to the wedding. It's understood. It's just like for a facade. Here, the father, he expressly said, I don't want Reuven to get benefit from my property. So acquire it just to give it to my son, but I do want you to acquire it to give it to the son. Anyway, he says here, that's one answer. He says, Vizimin and Amarle, and then other times he said, Reblezerhi. So it's a different answer he gave. And he said that our Mishnah is like the Tana Reb Lezer. The Amar Afilu Vitur Asur B'Gudar Hana. If you remember, it means like by Nedarim, we're more stringent than by other monetary transactions. So let's say the person has a Neder. So like even like a gratuity, like an indulgence that everybody be mocha, like you walking, crossing my property. So I'd say, Nishkefer Lach. But if you're Mudar Hana from me, I say, no, you can't. So by Nedarim, we're more Machmir. So the incident with Beit Horon was a din in Nedarim. So there we have a higher standard. Here is here with the property with the father. So in other words, there is a neder that's involved, but he's not trying to like he says, all right, let's take a look at the run. He says, again, the way I would explain it like this, in other words, in the first case of Matana Beit Choron, he wants his father to benefit from the Suda. He wants the father to benefit from the Suda. So Kniya Manat L'Hakno normally would work. But if it's something where it might be a violation of the Neder, it doesn't work. But that's what he's saying. But by the father with the son, with the grandson, so I don't want my grandson to my son to benefit from it, and he's not going to benefit from it. You know what I mean? It does work. That's the way I understand it. Okay, now let me just wrap up the parak.
Normally, it does work.
Normally, right now. Okay, now it was well done. Now Tnan Amrucha Kamim Kol Matana She'ena Shemekdish Teimekdesh She'ena Matana. Now, as a rule of construction, when the Mishnah says call, it usually includes more cases than what's in the Mishnah. So he says any matana that you can't be makdish is not a matana. What does that come to include? Lav la tuye hamilta. Now we have this shadya bekipe. So it's either the shamte shamik kipe. Either is it not like the case of the son who was bundling the stolen flax, like that's what it means, or the shadya bekfela is the other version that there's like a double language. What was the double language? He said, one second. Yeah. He says, like this father who, it's the same thing in the end. Like the father said, my son can't have a share in the estate. And then he gave a share for the sake of the grandson. Anyway, but the point is, when the Tana of the Mishnah says that any matana that I can't be makdish is not a matana, is it not call to include the case just like that we were considering above with the father who made the neder against the son, and to say that that would not be a good matana? That's what we think. That's another kasha against Rav Nachman. Again, we asked the case, the father made the neder, the son can't get hana. And then the father wants to set up a situation where the son is going to have it and then give it over to the grandson. So Rav Nachman said it works. So we're asking kasha against Rav Nachman. So we think when the Mishnah says that any matana that you can't be makdish is not a good matana, what is any matana? What is he talking about? We think he's talking about this case as well. So the Gemara says, lo, no, I could say that he's including that second version in Rava that we had in Amud Aleph, where he said, even in your discretion, I hope my father will come, but even that's not good. That's not a matana. Okay, Hadron Lacha Shutfin, you're supposed to all of you. Let me do one line in the next Mishnah. Hanodir Menamabushal, Mutar Basliva Shalot. If a person makes a neder, he's prohibited in having cooked items, but he's allowed to have tzaliv, which is roasted, and shaluk is like well-boiled, like over-boiled food. Okay, that's it, I think, for tonight. Let me end the recording a little bit. One second. Let me see if I have a story here, but I don't even have time for the story. One second. All right, we're going to leave that story. Okay, one second.